Last World Order.
Proudly brings to you Tag Team Champion of the World,
Leo Mainville,
Joshua Brown.
What an ovation! The fans are on their feet.
Spot Podcast.
Now, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Smart Spot Podcast. I am your host, Leo Mainville, along with my co-host, Joshua Brown. Ladies and gentlemen, he's here.
I made record time.
Yeah, you did, man. I'm like surprised you got here as fast as you did.
It's like 10 o'clock. I was at my aunt and uncle's, and I was like, oh, crap.
Well, I found out if I do this right below the screen, it looks like I'm making hearts come out of my fingers. Just keeping myself busy. Shared a couple stories. Oh, he's making them hearts happen. Making them hearts pitter-patter.
Oh.
Beer chug?
Yeah, let's let it sit for a minute. Let's pour it and let it sit for a minute. It's ice freaking cold.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it's ice cold.
Ice cold. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
So, dude, what a week of wrestling, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Right?
What a week of life.
Yeah.
I guess Finn Balor's not in the main event of WrestleMania.
What?
Shitting on that WWE. I was a little bit bitter for a few days about that.
Yeah.
But
they gave him... They gave him a spot.
You put John Cena in the Elimination Chamber instead of Finn Balor?
Yeah, that was dumb. That was stupid.
Well, I think they're just putting John Cena in there to put somebody over.
They have to. But not Finn, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with Finn. I'm sure they're going to do something good.
Yeah, I hope so.
I have my thoughts on that, and we'll go to that when we get to it. But I definitely think there's... something we need to accept about Finn Balor and the booking of Finn Balor going forward.
Yes.
And it's it is just kind of what it is, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
It is.
We're
in the waiting game for Finn Balor right now.
Well, I mean, he basically got the Sasha Banks treatment at the Rumble, so it's not like negative.
No,
it's just
not at all
what we want right now. But here's the deal. He's got a little bit of time.
Yeah, for sure.
The road
to WrestleMania is a long road.
But it also looks like it's going in a really interesting, entertaining way.
It is.
It's not what I want personally, but again, I'm not the person booking it.
Mm-mm.
And nobody's ever going to be completely happy with the things that happen.
Nope.
So I had to go back and eat a little bit of humble pie.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, okay, Roman Reigns is going to beat the Beast. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Although I kind of want to see this Miz-Roman thing go a little bit further.
I do too, because their matches
are
amazing.
Highly entertaining.
Yes, it has been.
Yeah, and it's good to see kind of Roman get knocked down a couple notches every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But
because he's still human after all.
Yeah, he's not a beast or a machine.
Mm-mm.
Or a monster.
Nope.
He's just the big dog.
He's the big dog.
He pretty much works well with just about everybody, DX. I mean, I know there's a lot of hate about his booking and stuff, but he doesn't rarely put on a bad match.
Yeah, that was actually one thing we talked about at the beginning of the show, because someone, I don't remember who it was, it might have been DX, asked if I was a Roman fan. And I said, not the beginning. At the beginning, I was not on the Roman train.
I think it's hard to... I could see people being upset with maybe the way he's been sort of, if you want to say, quote unquote, forced down our throats. But there's no questioning his level of ability and his his capability of always putting on a good match.
Mm-hmm.
And his promos have done nothing but to get better.
Yes, so he's gotten 1,000 times better.
I mean, I guess you can still do the whole boo him because you don't want to be told by Vince who to root for. And I get it. People are going to rebel. But the man can flat out work his butt off and he's entertaining, and he always puts on a good match.
He does.
He sells really well.
He does.
I don't know. He's awesome. I kind of wish he wasn't the one to take on Brock, but it also makes sense because he's the number one name.
Yeah, he is. And this would be their, what, third time competing at WrestleMania? If that's the way they're going to go with it.
Just the second. He's only faced him once at WrestleMania.
Did he? Oh, this would be his third
match with Brock. But
that's right.
But they've not met at WrestleMania.
More than once?
More than once. Well, he's been in multiple matches. Do they have a one-on-one?
They did.
Okay, and then they were in that like big crazy-ass match earlier in the year.
Oh, yeah, with like everybody in it. Yeah.
Seth cashed in and won was an awesome match, even though everybody was hating on Roman.
That was their first time.
But that was like when Roman was kind of just set himself as like, okay, I'm legit.
Yeah.
Because that match was, everybody just remembers Seth cashing in and beating them. But that match was incredible up to that point.
Yeah, it was.
And it just got, you know, just the best swerve ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and look at Seth now. Seth's phenomenal, but he's essentially a mid-card guy.
Mm-hmm.
Roman's still the man.
Yep.
Even though he's in a mid-card title, but the IC title is the most important title on Raw now because the Universal Championship's absent most of the time.
Always. So, Josh.
Yes, Leo.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start right back up at the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, I mean, why not? We might as well get it out. I mean, that, to me, is the bulk of this week.
Mm-hmm.
So we can kind of run through the Rumble. And
did you watch the pre-show before I came over?
It was on.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really focused on it. I paid attention to the Bobby Roode Mojo match. I did not see the other two matches. Okay. I didn't see the Good Brothers and Revival.
Yeah. Do you see the first match that I wrote on there?
A bunch of cruiserweights, baby faces won. That's about what it comes down to.
That's all it was.
Although cruiserweight divisions got a little bit of a switch up this week.
Yeah, they did. Got a new GM.
Mm-hmm. A new contender for the title.
Yep. Wait, who's the new contender for the title?
Tyler Bate.
Tyler Bate. That's right. That's right. Hope he doesn't get cursed.
So I guess Never really is gone, huh?
I'm guessing so, or they would have brought him back by now.
Telling you. Gravity finally caught up to him.
Yeah.
Or it completely forgot about him and he floated into space.
No.
I don't know.
Who knows, but...
So do you even really want to spend time with the pre-show?
No.
I kind of excited to continue to see this whole Good Brother revival deal.
To see where it goes, yeah.
I think the winner of this matches, is going to... Yeah.
You know?
I think the winner, the group that comes out of this is going to be the one that takes on the bar for the title next, right?
I think so.
Well, I guess Jordan and Seth are going to have a rematch clause.
Well, it also depends on when Jordan's healthy, because he's legit injured in real life.
Really?
Uh-huh. That's why he wasn't in the match.
Wasn't in what match?
The title match.
Oh.
Remember how that played out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I read that on somewhere on Twitter that he was injured.
Man, Seth is just cursed. Somebody just said they think Seth's injured as well.
Damn.
Well,
I hope that's not the case. I mean, he did have like my number one MVP of the entire Royal Rumble pay-per-view is Finn Balor, of course, just because
he was incredible.
He was incredible in that
Royal Rumble. We were really upset when he got eliminated, but.
Yeah.
On second thought, I mean, he was in there for almost a full hour.
It was like 55 minutes.
And he looked like he was in motion the whole time. Like, sometimes, like, Jericho's guilty of this because he spends a lot of time in the Rumble just, like, kind of hiding in the corner for a lot. But
yeah.
Didn't look like Finn was spending a whole lot of time on the ground.
Mm-mm. He would take his times outside of the ring when everyone else did. That's how Rumbles work.
Yeah, you can't be the focus. But a lot of times I would catch him in the background just, like...
Doing something. Yeah.
I like that, but you got to be in such supreme condition to do that. You know, like a Seth or a Finn, most of those guys aren't able to do that. I just can't imagine it.
But my number two top star of the night is Seth Rollins, just because he was in the Rumble and then had to perform basically a handicap match.
And he was in the Rumble for a pretty good amount of time.
Good amount of time, yeah.
It was good. I'm glad he finally, because he wasn't in the last two. I think he was injured for one and maybe injured for another one or just didn't compete.
I think he was the champion during one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, but I don't know.
So kicking off the show,
yeah.
Surprise a little bit.
AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Great way to start it off.
Yeah.
Firing on all cylinders, letting it go hard.
Yeah, I was really expecting the women to be first.
Yeah, I was too.
Guess what?
We got surprised.
Got it flipped around. Flipped the script.
I was super happy about that. What'd you think of this match, Josh?
Didn't seem long enough, but it was a huge show, so.
Yeah.
And 2 hour plus long matches and a 4 hour pay-per-view. You know, it was a little cheap, which was kind of like a little comeuppance.
Yeah.
But he, you know, AJ didn't know. He legitimately, you know, did what he did, what thought was right, and got the pin. The ref didn't see it. It was perfectly, like, choreographed.
Yes.
The ref couldn't see whether it was a tag or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good. And then, of course, you know, AJ gets the win, retains. Thank God, because I really didn't think a co-champion would be good for the the most prestigious title that WWE has.
That would have been awful.
But then the scene in the background with
Shane and Kevin.
And Kevin and Sammy. And then the best part of it all was after he did the yep, and Kevin just lets out this guttural scream of frustration. They cut off, like, right as he's starting to scream. Incredible.
Kevin Owens is awesome. One of my favorite heels in the entire company. But definitely paves the way till SmackDown Live to see what happens with this. Because it always seems like a Kevin Owens match ends up in some type of botch win or loss.
Yes.
Every time. This has to catch up eventually, right?
It seems like when he has the title, he gets clean wins. And when he's chasing, he's always like funky stuff.
Yeah. Then that led to the next match. Usos versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
This was another surprising match.
Yeah. The whole just two pins. That took a little bit away from Gable and Benjamin being so good lately.
Yeah.
Thought they were going to give a little bit better of a competition, but, you know, they decided to do the Usos two pins and out. And, I mean, I can't really complain. The Usos are, we talk about it all the time, the best tag team essentially in the world right now.
Yeah.
And so makes sense that they would be an upstart.
And they rarely do that with best two out of three falls.
No,
it
yeah.
Seems like they always do. One team gets the win, the other team or person gets the pin, and then they have this long match for the third one.
Yeah.
So it was surprising to see that they got the first two.
Yeah, it was surprising, kept us on our toes. I mean, it was a little bit like, wow, but.
I thought it was incredible.
I've been drinking my beer and not chugging it. Should we chug?
Let's chug it.
All right. I was like, wait a second, we're supposed to chug this.
Cheers. Chugging it like a girl.
Ah. I ate on the way over here, so I was already full.
Oh, it's so cold. Oh, it's so cold.
So cold. My teeth are hurting.
I did it.
Speaking of which, how do we do on Josh and Stu podcast? Are we still in?
Yeah, we're still in.
Holy cow.
We moved down one. Guess who bumped us?
Who? Wretched? Those motherfuckers.
Yeah, they scored like 52 points.
Good for them.
Yeah.
They probably had a lot of the women's stuff. They probably were thinking better than we were about
probably.
That.
I'd like to see their picks.
Like all the legends. We should have thought about that.
Yeah. We should have put way more legends in with the women.
Yeah, because that makes sense because it was the inaugural. Jeez. But I never thought in the world we'd see Trish Stratus wrestle.
No.
And Lita in the same night.
Too bad they didn't like wrestle together or had like a stare off or something.
That's what I wanted to see when. But I think Lita was out before Trish even came in, because Trish came in at 30.
Yeah.
But that was a great last pop.
Hell yeah, it was.
We can get to that in a minute, but yeah, they must have gotten a lot of the women right.
Yeah.
Congrats, man. You guys will lose next time.
Yeah, definitely. Watch out for Wait, what's the next one? Watch out for Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber.
Oh, God. Another one of those multi-match. We're going to have to pick, like, who and what fall. And Josh and Sue, you're killing me.
I will give it to them, though. They take their time with making up this game. So.
They make it very, very difficult.
Yeah, but they're so concise with everything. Like, you have to call this, who pins who, how it's won.
I feel like they've got a little bit of time three and a half more weeks or something crazy.
Like yeah.
For our next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
What happened to like pay-per-views every 2 weeks? Now we're getting them like.
That's what we talked about last week. We're like, where's all the pay-per-views go?
That's okay.
I like it.
It made it a little more special. I thought
it did.
I thought as a whole, this pay-per-view was excellent.
It's one of the best Royal Rumbles in the last like recent memory.
The men's Royal Rumble is incredible. I just think in general it was a fantastic pay-per-view, but mm-hmm. it really helped that we had two really memorable Royal Rumbles.
Yes, absolutely.
But the other matches on the card were all enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Usos Benjamin Gable thing was surprising with the two falls, mm-hmm. but it was still a very entertaining match.
Oh, absolutely.
Those
yeah.
guys always put on just, man, it's so good.
I just wish it was
more competitive in terms of just seems like there's one team taking on the Usos right now.
Yeah. I think we're going to see a little bit of a change when we get to SmackDown Live.
Yeah, and I agree. But, you know, that part feels a little bit stale, but the wrestling is always...
It's phenomenal. Always phenomenal.
Incredible.
Yeah. So, man, so after the Usos and Shelton Benjamin, Chad Gable, we get to the middle of the card, and it's the Men's Royal Rumble, which we were like... when we watched it together, we looked at each other and was like, what?
They're going all in on this Women's Royal Rumble
they
being
are.
The main event. And that,
they are.
Good for them, man. That was, I think, a little bit of a gamble, but...
It worked out. I think yeah. it was the right call.
Yeah. I wish I would have known that ahead of time. I think we would have switched some of our picks up.
Yeah. It's the one thing we never know the order of the pay-per-view.
And I don't think we put a tiebreaker in, did we?
No, we didn't. I wouldn't have put one on any of them, really. Maybe the Lesnar, Kane, and Strowman.
That's the one I was going to pick because
yeah.
I was pretty certain that's how it was going to happen. We called it perfectly.
We did.
Yeah, it's just Lesnar's not going to drop the strap until at least WrestleMania.
No. So with the Men's Royal Rumble, like what were some of your favorite spots?
It feels like it was like a year ago, to be honest with you.
No, I don't. I'm right there with you. Well, we'll start it off at number one and number two. We had Rusev and Finn Balor.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little butthurt because I was like, if you come in at one or two, the chances of you winning are slim to none unless you're Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
So knowing that Finn came in at two, knew he wasn't going to probably win. But it was great to have two awesome people started off.
Hell yeah.
And they both stuck around for a long time.
They did, yeah.
I thought they both did phenomenal. It was really good to see them both in there. I loved that we lost Rusev, but then we got
Aiden English
in afterwards. So it was great to kind of see him come in afterwards.
Yeah.
I thought Heath Slater's whole thing was hilarious and well done.
Was that when Baron Corbin came in, then got taken out, and then he just beat the shit out of him?
The next, I can't remember who came in after him. He knocked him down again. It was like he got knocked down two or three times. And then he got in, and he lasted about a minute.
When the New Day all started coming out, one by one, I think when Big E came in, Big E started feeding him pancakes before he got in the ring.
Out of his suit. It's so gross.
It's so nasty, dude.
It reminds me of, have you ever seen the remake of The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler?
Yes.
Terry Crews has always got like cheeseburgers hidden in his pants.
So gross.
That's exactly what that is. I guarantee that's where they got that from. And he's like, here you go.
Right. Oh, my God.
Man, it's so good. I thought Kofi's little spot was stupid.
They do it every year.
He landed on the freaking
pancakes.
I mean, I guess I see that, but it was so silly.
Yeah.
I thought Naomi's was much better.
It was way better.
She walked across the barrier. I thought that was really cool. And then she used the chair.
Yeah.
So, no, but yeah.
It's the Kofi spot.
Yeah, it is the Kofi spot. But it was, I feel like it's his weakest one so far.
Yeah, that was.
But it was good. The New Day all came in. It was pretty cool that they were all three in the ring at the same time, mm-hmm. kind of teaming up and taking everybody out.
Yeah, they were tearing it down for a minute.
And then they got rid of them all. I thought Baron Corbin got out a little too early.
Yes.
But it was good. It really kind of showed off his character, kind of took away from his, you know, wrestling ability maybe a little bit, but it was pretty cool to see, like, he just, like, destroyed everybody. Tear shit up.
Hell yeah.
And, of course, like, the win. I mean, the final two was an incredible, incredible match.
Yes. I was like, my hands were, like, in my body, and yeah, I was
he was
like...
so worried that Roman was going to win. And the whole time, I'm like, dude, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And it was just really well done. And Roman played the part to a T. And one of the my favorite things this one and then followed by the Raw is kind of like John Cena's kind of spot with the company right now. And he's kind of playing like a reluctant heel right now.
Yeah, he kind of is.
And you can tell he hates it. Yeah, but he's not going to not like try to be in WrestleMania. You know, like when... fast forward to Monday when he beats Finn and everybody's upset at him and he's like, look, I'm just trying to go to WrestleMania. I got to do what I got to do.
Right.
And it's perfect. I really enjoyed it. I thought he's done it well and he's still likable, but you're like, you just kicked out like the everybody's favorite guy right now, probably the number one face.
Yeah.
So everybody's a little pissed about it. But you know what? I really enjoyed it. It brings a lot more character to him because it's like he's like the old destroyer, like Big Match John.
Big Match John, yeah.
He's not going to just roll over and play dead because there's a new hot shot on the block.
One of my favorite standoffs was having John Cena, Randy Orton, and then Rey Mysterio came in. That was huge.
That was the best surprise of the night.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And he looked phenomenal.
He looked like he never missed a step.
Now I did not like keep up with like the internet and all that stuff this week because I've literally been swamped.
Yeah,
is he back with WWE or was it just a one night thing?
I don't know. I think it's just a one night thing by the way it looks.
He's been big for a couple years.
He has been.
I think he really has been taken to the weights later in his career.
He's been training with his son too.
Well, yeah, and I think he's been working really hard on his, you know, to extend his career. I mean, he's basically turned into like a John Cena type character.
Yeah,
doing the powerlifting and stuff because you know if you can continue to be strong and in that age, you can stick around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he looked incredible.
He did. C619'd everybody.
Yeah, that was the best one he got. Was it Roman and John together?
Yeah, and he double 619'd him.
That was awesome.
That was amazing.
That was incredible.
But it was when John Cena, Randy Orton, and Rey Mysterio were all three on one side of the ring, and the other side of the ring had Nakamura, Roman, and Finn.
Yes, and they were like, it was old school versus new school.
I was like, that's like, dope.
All right, do that. And then the funniest part was, it was like, the two that teamed up that I thought that was the funniest like to fight each other was Roman and Rey Mysterio. I was like, right? I kind of totally figured it would be like somebody else from that side.
But yeah.
It was incredible. And it was like, you know, the great thing about the Rumble is you get some of these matches that you never expect to see.
Exactly.
Nakamura and Roman,
right.
You know, Roman and Rey Mysterio, you know, we got Finn and John Cena, and then we got to get it the next night. You know, you get to see some of the things that you may never ever see.
Yeah.
Other than special matches like this. So yeah, I think it was so well done. It was so well booked. I mean, the last couple of years everybody's been kind of crapped on the finishes and not been happy with the way stuff happens. You know, you had the year that Roman won 3 years ago in Philly and everybody was pissed and The Rock came out and The Rock couldn't even rub it on him.
Yeah.
Then the next year, Roman had the championship.
Yeah.
And if he lost, the winner was going to be the champion.
Oh, and, yeah. And then it was Triple H.
Triple H won. And everybody was happy Triple H won, but they didn't like kind of the whole angle of it.
Yeah.
And then last year was Orton winning and everybody's like, why the hell is Orton winning? So this year was great, and a lot of people predicted Nakamura winning.
He was one of the top betting odds.
It makes a lot of sense. Going back on it, I wish I would have seen it a little more clear, but I was kind of blinded by and I convinced you.
Yeah. I mean, it made sense.
Yeah, absolutely. But, man, it was pretty cool to see. And
it just
shows. Now we got, like, 12 weeks of horrible Nakamura promos. Although I thought his promo this week was better.
Yeah, I think they can get better.
He started talking about knees to the face of everybody. I thought that was pretty cool.
Now that we know what we're going to get with Nakamura, we know what kind of promos he's going to throw. We know his character. We know what he's like. I think they're going to start focusing more on just letting him be him.
God, I hope so. Because it's been cringeworthy.
Yeah.
Up until this week, so.
But that means they have faith. They have faith in Nakamura.
Yeah, right now. Yeah. And he looks rejuvenated in the ring.
He does. He does. Because the booking up till now has been kind of...
I kind of liked his whole team up with Randy Orton. I thought that was pretty good. But then, you know, he really performed well in the Rumble, looked strong, and so I'm excited. And everybody wants to see him versus AJ, so...
Mm-hmm. I'm down for
getting it. I just didn't think they needed him to win the Rumble for them to...
They could have booked the match without him winning.
Yeah.
Should have given it to Finn.
Fuckers.
It's okay. It's okay. It's going to be okay, I promise.
No, yeah, it'll be fine. And like I said, when we get to that, I kind of want to talk about that on Raw.
Definitely.
But yeah, no, it was a fantastic Rumble. Like, it could have ended right there, and I've been happy with the night.
Mm-hmm.
But then we got two more great matches right afterwards.
Yeah, we did.
Actually, we got three matches, because the popcorn match of this entire Rumble was Rollins Jordan versus The Bar.
Yeah, you could tell the crowd was deflated.
Yeah, I mean, after an hour-long Rumble.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at Leo at one point and was like, this is the popcorn match.
Yeah.
Because right? I was just like, can we get this over with? Because we know The Bar is going to win.
Yep.
And they did. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, you know, my black son is on the shelf for a little bit.
I remember watching the match with you, and I remember what I said, but I was just so angry that one Irish whip into the corner post on the outside just puts out Jason Jordan.
That was a brutal, brutal hit.
I mean, it was bad, but yeah. I mean, how many times have you seen people take an Irish whip to the ring post in a match? They could have made it a little more of a devastating move to take him out, but I mean...
Devastating?
Devastating! I haven't done that one in a while.
I know. It's fantastic.
Fantastic. But it just kind of plays into this character of everyone not liking him. Makes sense.
Yeah.
They had the paramedics come out to check on him. I was like, really? Come on. It's a ring post.
He's hurt.
He's, oh, daddy.
Daddy, my shoulder, daddy.
And my daddy. Where's my daddy?
Where's my white dad? Help me, white dad.
But props to Seth freaking Rollins, dude.
Dude's a champ.
Dude.
CrossFit Jesus, man.
Seriously.
Just went nonstop.
That whole time against The Bar. And that was a hard-hitting match, too, man. They were not holding back. But props to The Bar. They got the win.
Yeah.
I think it's the right call. Makes sense for the story.
They've been the best tag team on Raw this last year.
Mm-hmm. It's another four-time champions?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's huge. Good for them. Just to think.
It's funny going back watching last year's Rumble. Like, there are even people talking about, like, are we ever going to see? Because one of them eliminated the other one, I think, at last year's Rumble.
Really? Okay.
I bet you that tag team's dead. Oh, how you're wrong.
1 year later,
JBL.
Four-time champs.
Yeah. 1 year later, they're like besties.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
But no, like I said, it was kind of just like the cool-off match.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they were stuck in the worst spot of the whole entire card.
But they still made it a great match.
Yeah, it was an entertaining match. I personally was a little bit checked out just because I was trying to recover because I knew we still had... Braun, Kane, and Brock, and then we had the Women's Rumble.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Still so much wrestling.
Felt a little bit like WrestleMania, where it's just like...
It's never going to end.
Is this going to end?
Nope.
You almost want to be in the first couple hours in the WrestleMania, because if you get to the end, it's like everybody's like so fatigued.
Yeah, right. Zombied out.
But after that...
Man, we got the Lesnar, Kane, and Strowman match, dude.
Yes.
Dude, this match was awesome.
Dude, that where he picked up Brock from a laying position in
German suplexed him.
Braun is not human.
No, he's not.
He's a freak of nature.
Do you remember the stiff hits that Braun and Brock were giving each other?
Well, yeah, evidently Braun kneed him to the face.
Yeah, like a legit knee to the face.
And I read somewhere they said, you know, he like cussed at him like right afterwards.
Yeah.
And I guess he was yelling at him to slow the fuck down. And that's when he punched him. Because I guess Braun was so amped up in the match that he was working too fast.
Yeah.
And that's why he got Brock.
I remember watching and hearing the beep out, like when they cut audio. I knew, I was like, Brock is definitely
I think
like.
He yelled, slow the fuck down, and then punched him square in the face. Good thing Braun doesn't have a glass jaw in real life.
Yeah, right.
Could you imagine if he like clocked him out? I mean, he popped him pretty good.
That was hard. Like even watching the replay, like his whole head shifts like as he got punched.
And kudos to Braun, man. He didn't like lose his cool. He just
he kept
adjusted,
going. Yeah,
and it, you know, had you not known that, you would have just thought, man, it was a really hard hitting match.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Braun looked strong throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Brock looked strong throughout. Kane had his moments, and then you know, Braun got kind of thrown out of the mix, and Brock took over and beat Kane.
Yeah. Just like we
called.
Like
4 weeks ago.
No big deal. No big deal, but it makes sense.
NBD. No big deal.
No big deal.
We just called that shit.
Enjoy.
Enjoy yourself, bitches.
So now let's get to the main event of the Royal Rumble. The women's first ever history-making 30-woman Royal Rumble match. History-making! It's history-making! It was history-making.
Yes.
It was incredible.
So, Sasha and who started it?
Sasha and...
Exactly.
My brain is like...
Yes.
But I definitely remember Sasha.
Becky Lynch and Sasha.
That's right. And that's when I knew our pick of Becky Lynch was out of the fucking window.
That's okay. Becky.
She killed it.
She was incredible. Both of them were really, really good. They both lasted a really long time.
They did.
I wish Becky would wear that gear all the time. She looked fantastic. Even my wife was like, Becky Lynch looks hot tonight. Remember, she was like, she always makes her look like frumpy, whatever she's wearing.
Yes.
And she was phenomenal. Sasha was incredible. And so they started off the match perfectly. The real surprise, at least I think for both of us, was that so many legends came out.
There was a lot. And it was they did it at the right time during the match.
Yeah. A couple of my highlights, you know, obviously Trish coming out at 30 was huge.
Yeah.
But Lita was one of the first ones, and I thought that was really cool because we were hoping to see Lita.
And that was a big surprise.
And then we saw Michelle McCool.
Yep. Michelle McCool, Kelly Kelly.
Tori Wilson.
Who hasn't aged a day. She's gotten younger.
Yeah, she's like dipping in the fountain of youth or something.
I don't know what she's doing.
That woman looks incredible. Mm-hmm. Molly Holly.
Oh, yeah.
Like the dark pixie cut. She was incredible for the time she was in.
Yeah, she killed it.
Jacqueline
killed it, too.
I guess Jacqueline's like early 50s, still moving around like that.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Took a nice little bump.
Mm-hmm. Do we get
Beth Phoenix?
Yeah, Beth Phoenix. She had the stare down with Nia Jax.
The Glamazon.
Yeah.
That was Vicky Guerrero. That was a little funny.
That was a time killer.
Oh, my gosh.
I love how...
Excuse me!
That was so... ear-piercingly annoying, but I get it. That was her thing back in the day.
Yeah, it's like the gobbledygooker.
Basically.
Showing up.
Oh, and they just took her out.
But, yeah, the first two people in, I thought, were both competitors to win it.
Yeah.
You know, Nia Jax, I thought, had a good shout.
She did. She had a good run, too.
And didn't she get thrown out by a bunch of people?
Uh-huh.
That was a good way to get her out because
it kept her strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Lana was pretty funny. Yeah. Who else?
Tamina got taken out in like 2.5 seconds. She did not.
She got taken out by.
Who did she get taken out by?
Somebody surprising. I can't remember who it was.
But it was quick. I remember her not being in the match very long.
But then we got surprised with Kairi Sane.
Yeah, Kairi Sane was in the match for a while.
Ember Moon.
Yup. And then we had the Ember Moon Asuka stare down.
Oh, that was good. Ember Moon hit her with her finisher.
Dude, I love that.
Like, stun her off the top rope.
Yeah, that's badass.
She did well. Both the NXT champions were in the Rumbles, which I didn't know if they were going to do that because we didn't talk about that. But Andrade Cien Almas was in the men's.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Did well.
Yeah,
and
he did well.
And did well. He was in there for a good long time. And same thing with Ember Moon. She stuck around for a while. I think Kairi Sane was a replacement, somebody said, for... no, not Kairi Sane. Dana Brooke. Somebody's just saying Dana Brooke eliminated Kairi Sane.
For Alicia Fox?
I think Dana Brooke was a replacement for Alicia Fox.
She did well.
Or maybe Kairi Sane was a replacement for Alicia Fox, and that's why Dana Brooke knocked her out.
I still think Dana Brooke did great in the match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam Cole, baby, was in the men's rumble.
Yeah, with like his ribs bandaged up from the night before. Yeah,
he's got to come up pretty quick. I feel like.
Yeah,
he's not going to be down there too long. Although the Undisputed Era is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's hot right now.
I want to see them battle again with Sanity one more time before they leave.
So good.
A la War Games, but without everybody else.
Right.
Oh, man. NXT is incredible again.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing I was talking about earlier before you
Did
came
Did you
by.
Ever go back and watch that?
No, I just haven't had any time, but
Meltzer
I watched...
gave it 5 stars.
That's insane.
I don't think he's ever given an... I mean, it's been a long time since he's given a WWE match 5 stars.
One of the things I talked about with NXT is like... And I kind of talked to you about it when we were watching the Rumble, is that it almost... sets a really, really too high of a bar for the next pay-per-view, even though the Royal Rumble was incredible.
It was a better pay-per-view than the TakeOver this time.
Yes, it usually is. The TakeOvers take over the following pay-per-view.
Yep.
But it was still an incredible weekend of wrestling.
No. The TakeOver is incredible. One of the best matches you'll ever see in wrestling. And then we got this incredible Royal Rumble pay-per-view that was also just... Every match was great.
Could you imagine going to all 4 shows back to back to back to back?
I had a hard time watching all 4 shows back to back to back. I can't imagine being in the I couldn't do it. I would love to be able to do a TakeOver sometime and then go, you know, like we talk about going to SummerSlam, like seeing TakeOver Brooklyn and then seeing SummerSlam the next night.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could stick around for Raw and SmackDown. No, I just don't think I could do it.
No. It would be too much.
I think I probably skip Raw and SmackDown that week if we go. Yeah. Watch the Hulu version or whatever that's like 30 minutes long.
Right. Yeah.
But,
awesome Royal Rumble.
Yeah. So I thought the Naomi spot was killer.
Yeah, Naomi was awesome.
The Bellas.
Dude, they oh man.
The fact that Bree showed up, I thought Nikki was not allowed to wrestle anymore. Couldn't wrestle anymore. But she showed up.
She was in it for a minute.
Yeah, and then Bree came in to save her.
Yep. And then she threw out her sister.
That was awesome. That was incredible. You can't there's no it's all against one. Yep. So if you get thrown out,
Everyone.
Well, didn't Roman eliminate Seth in the men's? He did, didn't he?
Yep.
And they just looked at each other, and Seth was like, you got me.
Yeah, he's like, fair enough.
Like, people get a little too butthurt about it, but it's the Royal Rumble, so you can't expect to...
No. You can't expect those teams to last very long.
And I feel like we missed a bunch of stuff that was really good. But then, you know, Asuka, you know, the eventual champion, she's just incredible.
She is. She's amazing in the ring.
Yes.
One of the greatest workers in the women's division.
And I thought the ending was good. It was booked well.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Sasha, they have really great in-ring chemistry.
Yes, they do, which we'll hit on Raw.
They're both out on the ring apron.
Yes.
You don't know who's going to fall out. And Asuka does this cool little kick that kicks her legs out for her and then she falls over.
Yeah.
Asuka wins. Stephanie gets in the ring, invites... Charlotte invites Alexa Bliss in there. Hey, Asuka, who do you want? Be careful. Maybe don't pick Alexis yet because we got Elimination Chamber in 4 weeks, the first women's ever.
Yep.
And the winner will be the new champ or the champ. So you may want to wait. And then right about that time, music hits.
Yep.
And who shows up?
Ronda Rousey.
What'd you think of this?
Okay, I'll give you my initial thought, then I'll give you my thought now.
I know what your initial thought was.
I was so angry.
Yes.
It's like, what the fuck? I was just like, okay. It just took away from the entire
winning. It kind of deflated everything
that
just happened.
Right?
Okay. You're right.
So that was my initial feeling. Now, sitting and stewing over it for the last couple days, I think it was a smart move if they're going to use her correctly. The way I envision they're going to use Ronda Rousey, I don't think they're going to use her as a full-time women's wrestler.
She's going to be a Brock.
She's going to be the Brock of the women. Yeah, exactly. The Brock of the women's division.
Yep.
She's a household name. Everyone knows who Ronda Rousey is. This is hopefully going to pull in some more new viewers to go, oh, I loved Ronda Rousey when she was in MMA. I loved her when she was in all the movies. Now she's in WWE. Maybe I'll give it a gander and check out the product, see what's going on.
Yeah, this was a big gamble week for Vince McMahon.
Yes.
Reintroducing the XFL, bringing in a supposed Brock-type female wrestler who we don't even know can wrestle yet.
Yeah.
Who has no wrestling experience.
I want to see her in a match.
Don't even know if she can cut a promo.
Nope.
I mean, she can act. She's been in movies.
She can smile.
She can smile. She can scowl. She can fight. But can she come out and cut a promo that people are going to enjoy?
And can she work with some of the best?
Yeah, and then can she wrestle?
Yeah.
So it's quite a bit of a gamble, just like the XFL thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the timing is right.
Yeah.
I agree with you that it took a little bit away from what just happened with the Rumble. I feel like it still kind of shits a little bit on the current product.
I wish they would have saved it for Raw. That's what I was... I kind of wish they would have said,
well, you know, they don't do that. They just give Oscar her moment, point to the WrestleMania sign, and then maybe staring down both of them outside mm-hmm. the ring. It ends... but, you know, you have your biggest audience on Rumble. I get why you would do it then. But it would have been cool to see her show up the next night on Raw
mm-hmm.
and come out with Stephanie and not said anything, just had Stephanie talk for her.
Right. That would have been awesome.
Drop it that way.
Or she could have interrupted Stephanie and Asuka's little thing or whatever. But I thought it was okay. I see why they did it, and I'm curious to see where it goes.
It's not what I wanted, but it works and it was successful.
Yep.
And it got everybody talking, so.
Yeah. It was all, like, when I went to work Monday night, it was all over every television. ESPN, all they could talk about was Ronda Rousey and the WWE, like, everywhere. So all I heard all night was, El Leo, hey, did you see that Ronda Rousey's in the WWE? I was like, fuck yes, I did.
You're like, no, man, what are you talking about? What the fuck did you just say to me? Ronda Rousey's a UFC fighter. Preposterous. When did they announce that? I don't remember watching that at the Royal Rumble. That's bullshit. That's
fake news. Fake news. It's fake. Fake news. Oh, man. All right. So, Royal Rumble in the books. Now, let's get down dirty. Well, Raw started off with Stephanie McMahon coming out in a very cheery mood to congratulate the new Women's Royal Rumble winner.
Welcome to the Queendom.
The Queen bowed down. When the Queen cuts down, someone different. My name, let me love me.
That's a good job.
Thanks.
Impressed.
But yeah, Stephanie McMahon came down, invited Asuka to the ring so she could cut a promo, which was a majority was in Japanese, but you still kind of understood what she was talking about.
And then when she cut to English, it was just like to emphasize what she was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you got a little bit more of that out of maybe the Shinsuke side. Asuka cuts a better promo than Shinsuke.
Yes, she does.
Every single time. She is just incredible in how she emotes in the ring, how she emotes during promos.
Mm-hmm.
She is just, she's so awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And an incredible wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I just can't get over it watching her work. We'll talk about her match in a little bit, but it's just, yeah. I never stop. At first, I was like a little bit, I think I was a little bit of a hater.
When Asuka got pulled up to the main card?
Yeah, because I felt like, you know, does she deserve to be here? Is this just all hype?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her wrestle in NXT multiple times. I mean, I watch all the takeovers and, you know, I was watching NXT a little bit more maybe 6 months ago than I'm able to now. So, I mean, I'd seen her and I knew she was really good, but like, you only know how good somebody is in NXT until they come to the main roster.
Yeah.
Or will their gimmick, will their character, translate to the main roster well, because there are plenty of people who've been successful at NXT
mm-hmm.
and come up to the main roster and aren't as successful.
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze is a perfect example. Tyler Breeze was huge at NXT.
Yeah.
He was one of the biggest names on the card, and then he's done well for himself on the main roster, but he's not anywhere where he was.
Took him a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
A long time.
He got a big push and it didn't work. You know, Apollo Crews, same way.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Rose?
Yeah, then he's gone.
Adam Rose was huge.
Yeah.
Moved up, and he gone.
He gone.
He gone.
He gone.
So I was a little bit of a hater, but man, she is just incredible. Super entertaining, super talented. I just, this weekend and this Raw just kind of solidified. I get why she's here, why she's so touted. She's every bit as good as Charlotte, if not better in some aspects.
Yeah. Now, right after she gave her promo, Sasha Banks comes out. Because they wanted to make it clear that Sasha was not the winner, but the Iron Woman of the match, because she lasted for almost an hour as well.
She was the MVP.
Yeah, she was definitely the MVP of the
match.
She
was.
Mm-hmm.
She was incredible.
Absolutely. We had a little bit of a stare down with Sasha and Asuka. So Stephanie makes the match.
Yeah. Where, Sasha pretty much demanded a match.
Yeah.
She wanted to show that she's on that level. So they made a match, which was cool. I was like, oh, great. We get to see the two of them go at it again.
Yep.
Because I think everybody wanted to see more. So we get that match as the promo, and then we cut to our first Elimination Chamber qualifying match.
Oh!
So are they determining the Elimination Chamber 4 weeks out? Probably 3 weeks out, because we'll have the other three matches next week.
Yeah, we had three matches. Two matches. So, yeah, we have the first three in this Raw. We'll have the next three next Raw, maybe. Maybe they'll do two and then one. I don't know.
No.
But we got a lot.
Full weeks.
We got a lot of them. But, I mean, it's in 4 weeks. They're trying to get
it. Yeah, like, so we'll know by the end of next week, and then we'll have 2 weeks to kind of build it a little bit with promos and stuff. So,
but the first match was Braun versus Kane in a last man standing match. Oh, my goodness. Dude.
Kane's had no chance.
Kane's dead.
No chance in hell. You've got
no chance.
Do, 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 do.
No chance to get these hands. This match didn't even... Did this match start?
I don't think the bell rung.
Okay.
That's how he won, because, you know...
He just freaking...
He's destroyed Kane.
They love... Vince McMahon has to love Braun Strowman in order for him to let him do the things that he does on television. He flipped over not just the table. He didn't flip over just a table. He flipped over the whole freaking announcing stage with Kane inside.
I love that the one
chair
was just hanging.
It didn't move.
It's amazing. It was just like stuck in its spot.
But everybody was just so... It was cool because the announcers, of course, had to leave the area, so they didn't have their microphones on them. So all you heard was just the crowd going, oh, and Kane or Braun just standing there, like, oh, and then replay. And I think he like talked into Corey Graves.
Corey Graves came out and interviewed him afterwards. But speaking of which, announcing was a little different this week.
Yes. Oh, yes. We had a new announcer. Booker T is no longer.
Jonathan Coachman's now the third voice on Raw with Cole and Brian, or Corey Graves and Cole.
He is back.
Coachman's back.
I like having Coachman on there.
I was really getting used to Booker. I kind of like his like outlandish, crazy stuff. So
drunk Uncle Booker.
It was weird having somebody analyze it and speak as if they were on ESPN, because that's what Coachman has been doing for the last couple years.
But, yeah.
It was pretty cool. It was good to hear new insight. It was fresh. My favorite was he was like, I'm going to move before the thing. And then like Cole and Graves like follow suit.
Yeah.
But yeah, he destroyed him, buried him underneath the whole announcing setup. Kurt came out to yell at him and he was like, you wanted a last man standing match. He's not standing anymore. How can you be mad at me? I did what you asked. And everybody's like, oh yeah, I guess that is what we asked.
Yeah. It's like, Hey, Kurt, you are the GM. You booked this match, buddy. What'd you expect?
Well, I will say this. I was a little confused because Braun came out first and he just started pulling out all these weapons. And I'm like, you keep talking about get these hands and you're pulling out tables and shit and kendo sticks. Just get in the ring and destroy somebody with give them those hands.
Yeah. But he hates Kane. He hates Kane.
I know, he hates Kane.
He hates Kane.
He gave him the hands. I just gave him the whole announcing setup.
Get this announcing table.
If he gets up, I'm going to give him these hands. So, yeah, I thought that was a little strange booking-wise that he came out and started setting all that up. But I know why they did it.
Yeah.
It's because the whole crowd flipped out when the tables come out. Everybody loves to see all that stuff.
So. Hell yeah.
So yeah, Braun Strowman's in the Elimination Chamber, ladies and gentlemen.
So we get our first dude in the match. Then the next match was round two, or the second qualifier match, Matt Hardy versus Elias.
Oh, I love Elias.
I love Elias too.
He's incredible.
So a WWE thinks so as well.
Yeah.
Because he won. Yeah. He beat Matt Hardy because
they're not done.
Oh, what happened? Oh no. Distraction. So many distractions.
You know what WWE stands for, right?
Walk with Elias. Is that what you're gonna say?
Yep.
Good. Because that's exactly what it stands for.
It is.
He's amazing. Dude's incredible.
Yep. Elias is the legit real deal.
Yes, he is.
And his stuff's getting better. His music's getting better, too, I feel like.
And he's just good in the ring.
Yeah.
He's really good in the ring.
Oh, he's super talented.
Yeah.
I never thought when they brought him in, the Drifter, that he would be as... I mean, it was just funny for, like, I feel like 6 weeks, we just would see him, like, playing in the background.
They did it right.
You're like, who the hell is this? And he started trying to sing, and people would shut him down. Is Elias the modern-day honky-tonk man? I guess you could kind of make that it's a possibility. But I always thought the honky-tonk man kind of had to win, like in a not necessarily chicken shit heel manner, but always kind of had to cheat to win. And Elias is just a phenomenal athlete in the ring. But I do like him beating people up with his guitar. That's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I really hope we get a little bit more of him and John Cena.
Agreed.
Either that. Yeah, because... I think that would be an awesome WrestleMania match.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably where we're going with it.
He's had great mini rivalries up to now.
Yeah, he hasn't had a great rivalry yet, but
yeah.
I kind of feel like this is a good opportunity, this Elimination Chamber, to set the two of them against each other.
Yeah.
In there and lead towards some kind of big build-up to WrestleMania.
Oh, man.
And then Cena can still win and put him over.
I'm happy, and I'm really excited that they have enough faith in him to put him... in this match.
Yeah, I feel like he's in the Rusev spot a couple years ago, before Rusev seemed to get shit on all the time, but when he had that awesome feud with Cena, what was it, the same year as the Rollins cash-in, where he came out on the goddamn tank.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Rusev came out on a tank at WrestleMania. That's how over and big he was as a monster heel at that time.
And that was before everyone started loving him.
People respected him, but they didn't love him yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Elias is kind of getting that same push from WWE right now.
Yes, agreed.
So hopefully he makes the most of it and continues to grow.
Yeah.
Because it took Rusev a long time.
Yes, it did.
Cena's not going to break Flair's record now, but he will at some point.
Yeah, not anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it'll be right before he retires. He'll break the record.
Yeah.
He's in the mode of putting people over right now.
Mm-hmm. And he's doing a damn good job.
Yeah, he's been incredible lately. He shows up. He's built this little feud with Elias, which has helped Elias get over.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole him and Finn thing's got some more legs to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Except for that one flag match, he's done nothing but help put people over.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that match.
Yeah, I think that was just bad booking. I don't think that was...
Yeah, that was terrible booking. What was the next match on the card?
Probably the highlight of the night. Well, I don't know. That Asuka-Sasha match was
pretty
incredible.
That was my highlight of
the night. We got the rematch of Miz and Roman.
Hell yeah.
I thought it was an awesome match. I hated the shitty finish.
It's a Miz win.
Yeah, but it was a Miz win. That's how Miz retains.
Yep.
Miz Taraj assists. It was a fantastic match. It was very back and forth. Felt like Miz controlled the match a good portion.
He did.
Especially against Roman. It was legitimate. Like, it felt legitimate. But Roman would have his little runs, and then it felt like Roman was going to go over, because that's a lot of times what happens. Roman will get shit on for a long time, and then he has this great rally, comes from behind and wins.
Dude, but when the Miz got him in that figure four leg lock.
He sold that so well.
Yeah, he did.
Roman literally looked like, I thought he was going to tap.
Yeah, it was close.
I mean, I didn't, like, mentally I was like, there's no way he's tapping in the match. But emotionally I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Then he did the
he reversed it,
turned it over.
Yeah, and then Miz broke it, and then he hit him with that skull crushing finale, and Roman kicked out.
Yep,
and kind of went back and forth till the end, and then
there was a Superman punch, kicked out of that.
Yeah,
then the Miztrosh came back, got reinvolved in the match. He did something, then he got rolled up.
He started messing up the Miztrosh, and then he turned his back on Miz.
Which you don't do.
Well, that's why you just lost the IC title.
And that's why Miz is still the IC champion. He knows how to get shit done. Even if it takes his cronies.
He's incredible. The heel should get over more than the babyface. It's just how it works.
Yeah. And then when the babyface finally gets over, it's huge.
Yeah. So I don't know if they continue this rivalry with him or if they move on to getting ready for Elimination Chamber or whatever, but...
Yeah, I'm excited to see where...
Yeah, I'm excited to see who he's going to go up against next week, to be honest with you.
Because you know Roman is going to be in a qualifying match.
What if it's him against Seth?
Ooh, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, just kind of like a bro versus bro.
Oh, yeah. And that match would be incredible. Yeah,
that would be incredible.
Oh, man.
I want to see some more good... I mean, because it felt like the qualifiers were pretty good.
They're really good, yeah.
As much as I didn't like some of the results, but you know, that's just personal booking decisions. But yeah, another great Roman Miz IC match. I wonder if somehow he can talk Curtin to give him one more match since the Miz got involved. We've seen that before, but
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. Maybe he gets to fight the Miz in an Elimination Chamber match and he wins that way.
Ooh, and gets the title then?
No title. Just to see who gets in the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, I see.
And Roman beats him.
Oh, that'd be cool.
With the title not on the line, so you can keep the title on Miz.
But still have him have another great match.
And you can have him build a little mini feud or a long-term feud going to WrestleMania. Maybe Finn starts a feud with the Miz.
And goes for the IC title. That'd be smart. That would be smart.
He could be a pretty freaking solid IC champion.
He needs to be in a championship scene.
We'll get to that here in a few minutes.
For sure.
Slater Rhino versus Revival. What did you think of this match?
It was all right. It was fun.
Yeah. Slater Rhino always put on a good show.
They do.
And they always get a nice little push in the match where you think, oh, this might go their way for about a few minutes.
Yeah, there's like always a believable chance.
There's always a believable chance they have an opportunity to win. And then the Revival, you know, it's like they crank the screws down and eke out a win.
Did they have another promo after?
They had an in-ring interview with Charlie Caruso, and they brought up some old-school tag team, and she was just like, I don't know who they are. Of course you don't, because you don't care. But you know who does care?
The Revival.
So yeah, they just keep building the Revival up, minus their whole squash job they did on the 25th anniversary of Raw. But that's kind of like the tribute for the troops. It doesn't count.
No, exactly. And if you look at the last two matches they've had, Raw and Royal Rumble, they've won.
Yeah.
So
they're doing well for themselves, and they're building. It's like they kind of are almost back to where they were right before they got injured last time. So.
Yeah.
It'll be nice to see. I'd love to see them take on the Bar. Like,
that match would be so hard-hitting.
And I don't think you really need a babyface for that match because they're both going to get cheered.
Yeah.
So next we get to pretty much the, as far as I'm concerned, the main event of the night.
Yeah, this match was incredible.
Asuka versus Sasha.
Oh, my God. They threw a freaking clinic.
Yeah, except for Sasha's horrible bump.
Oh, are you talking about the kick to the face when she tried to suicide dive out of the ring?
She caught her legs on the rope and fell right on her fucking
scary.
Neck.
That was so fucking scary. I thought she died.
Speaking of which, did you see what happened after that? Like, right afterwards.
What was it?
Ref comes and checks on her. You know how they reach out and they touch their hand and
the
wrestler squeezes their hand. See what Asuka did when she went up?
No.
Did the same thing to her.
What?
Went up and held her hand. Made sure she squeezed before she picked her up and put her back in the ring to
continue
the match.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I stopped it. I ran out watching. I showed my wife. I was like, look at that. It's like, she's taking care of her.
That's right fucking there. Cool.
Yeah, and that's just where I was like, yep, she's, nobody does that shit.
No.
And if you weren't paying attention, didn't mean anything. For me, I was paying attention because I was like, that was a really bad bump.
That was a really bad
Luckily, bump. I think the thing that saved her were the thing that caught her legs. She got her legs caught in the rope, also slowed her down enough so that she, when she finally hit the ground, it was at a much slower speed.
Yeah.
Had it just clipped her and she went straight down, she probably would have been in bad shape.
Yeah.
Whew. But then they had that awesome kind of go around after that where Asuka kind of took control, but then she took a nasty bump outside the ring. She tried to do her little...
She tried to flip over.
She tried to do that like butt thing, and Sasha pulled down the ropes and she flew right out, like yeah. right onto the ground. And man, Sasha hit the most perfect backstabber to bank statement.
Yes. I thought Asuka was and then, so close to tapping
And then she
out.
Rolled her over and got her back into the bank statement to get her away from the ring. And she tried to do it again. And that's when she put on the Asuka lock. And
oh,
it was just like,
done.
It was so believable because you're like, you know, it's coming out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And Sasha tapped. And it was just like, one of the, I don't remember which commentator said it, but they're like, and I think it might have been Coachman. He was like, I don't think those two had a whole lot of respect for each other before this match, but they definitely respect each other now.
Absolutely.
And it was incredible. I just thought it was a great match. Other than that championship match on NXT, that was my favorite match of the long weekend.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like one-on-one singles match.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was good to finally see Asuka as this Empress of Tomorrow that we've been hearing about so much. You know what I mean? They haven't really booked her up. They put her up against jobbers, and they put her up against, like,
she's been in a couple matches, but they're not very long. This, I felt like they gave them plenty of time, like an NXT type match
with a
they
high
time
with a high them. Caliber superstar,
yeah,
as in Sasha Banks, you know, 4-time Raw Women's Champion. She has the accolades of being a badass in the ring, and we finally got to see her with some like really good level talent that Asuka is. So
and Asuka is those other girls are just as talented as Asuka and kayfabe. It's just like she has that certain je ne sais quoi.
It's her charisma.
It's like something that she has in a match where she's always able to just like turn it up one more notch than the other person to get the win. It's not like she ever just destroys people. Like,
right.
Like she squeaks out wins.
Yeah.
She just somehow pulls out a win all the time. And she's so good at it that it just never stops. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible. And, cause they really have her booked. Sasha is a little bit heelish especially with this feud with Asuka. Cause she's so over as a babyface right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that to me was the highlight of Raw.
Yeah, it was my favorite match on Raw.
And then far. I totally forgot we had as I'm reading your notes here,
mm-hmm.
we had a Raw tag team title match.
I kind of slept through that match.
Against Titus Worldwide!
Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah!
We got Titus Apollo and Titus's trunks versus the Bar. We all know how that was going to turn out.
Yeah, there's no way that Titus Worldwide was going to win against the Bar.
Unless his trunks exploded and then...
Clotheslining everybody with his giant dong.
Helicopter. Everybody out.
I could see Cesaro putting the swing on Titus, and Titus just goes, just hits him in the face with his dong.
That's when Titus decides to go full heel. Anyway, the Bar win.
The Bar wins.
So let's get to probably the most controversial part of Raw.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got the last qualifier.
Oh, wait. Somebody just put Apollo Crews looks amazing. Yeah, he did look amazing. His pecs are so perfect, they look like they're breast implants. How does somebody get that kind of a physique? I mean, it looks like legit like he has breast implants. Did you notice that? I mean, he has like perfectly shaped pectoral muscles.
I mean, I know. Yeah, the dude looks like an Adonis. He does.
He does.
I just I never would have thought.
They look like breast implants. I'm telling you.
Yo, Apollo Crews. Hey, dog.
You got them fake boobies.
We want to know how you work them pecs into looking like breast implants.
How you work them pecs, dog?
Dude, let us know. Hit us up at Smart Spot, bro. But no, he looks incredible. No, the dude does look incredible though. Like they're getting better and better in the ring, and
I think
that's
really
why
enjoying their work.
It made sense. I don't know if it should have been for a tag team championship match, but I mean they did beat the Bar 2 weeks in a row, so it kind of makes sense. But
look at that dude; he looks like he has breast implants.
He does, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
That was actually, it was a fun match.
It was a fun match, and I hope they stick with them. Like, keep working the gimmick, because Apollo Crews needs somebody, and if they can have Titus talk for him, or at least be there to supplement, like, his lack of being the best on the mic.
Yeah.
He could be big. I mean, he's so entertaining.
They're good. They're good mid-card tag team right
Yes.
now.
They could run, they can, and they could get a title reign and do something fun if they write, if they get the right storyline together. So, I know you guys hear me talk shit about Apollo Crews all the time and call him the David Otunga of wrestling, but it's not from like a spot of where I don't want him to succeed. I really do want him to succeed because he is fantastic, fantastic looking.
Oh, yeah.
Fits all the cards. And frankly, I'm always rooting for the black wrestlers because we don't ever have any black wrestling champions.
Nope.
So, you know, call me racist against my own people, but.
Well, it is February now.
What's that mean?
It's Black History Month, man.
Oh. Do you see how white this skin is? How porcelain this skin is?
Well, if you're 1% North African, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm not Rob, so I'm not 1% North African. Although, you know what? I've never done the DNA, the Ancestry.com test.
Hey, maybe you might be.
I kind of want to be. You I kind of want to do it just to kind of see what it shows up. But I don't know if I want to spend $100 on it.
Right.
I can be whatever I want to be.
Be what you want to be.
I'm 100% honky-fied. Cracker.
Cracker.
Cracker. A mix, saltine.
A mixture of European.
No, actually, I do know there's a number, a little bit, quite a bit of Native American in me, but I definitely don't look like I have any. My brother, though, my brother looks like he's got, like, the big, wide nose, and he's dark compared to me, but...
You ain't got it.
I look European as fuck. So, yeah. Final match of the night.
Let's get to it.
Elimination Chamber, number three elimination match of the night.
John Cena, Finn Balor. What the fuck? This match was incredible.
I didn't think they matched up very well.
You don't think so?
I think the beginning of the match was pretty clunky.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because they haven't wrestled each other before, but it felt like... With John Cena not wrestling all the time, he seems a little bit slower than normal.
Yes, he does.
Like, not a, and you're so used to seeing the Finn fast pace. I thought the beginning of the match was fine, like all the holds and stuff, that was fun. And they did the test of strength. Something happened in the audience during this match. I don't know if you were watching it live.
Where they were all standing up and looking somewhere?
Yeah, but when they were doing the test of strength.
Okay.
Like,
I think a beach ball was getting thrown around.
Oh, fucking assholes.
That's the only thing I could think of, or something, because they started chanting something in the back, but the crowd's attention was definitely veering somewhere else. But
when it picked up pace, it felt a little clunky for a while, but it did end up being a pretty good match. Finn finally started getting, like, a lot of the match, Finn was beat down.
Yeah.
And then he got his nice little fire comeback. And you thought, oh, this is going to happen. Nope. He did kick out of an AA.
He did. That was awesome.
That was pretty good. But everybody kicks out of an AA.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what you don't kick out of an AA? What you don't kick out of on John Cena?
It's a freaking super AA. AA.
And that's what happened. And Finn Balor is not going to WrestleMania is the hit for the main event. But I just remember at the top of the show, I said something about this, the booking of Finn Balor.
Yes.
And it's been said by other people. I'm not going to take credit for it, but it's completely 100% true, and I'm completely on board with it now. Finn Balor, the wrestler, is a mid-card talent in the eyes of WWE booking. The Demon is a top-of-the-card monster.
I like that.
Who's even more elite than, or maybe more, not elite, but more, less seen than like the Beast or whoever.
Okay.
So the only time Finn Balor is like that top of the card is when he's Demon. When he's just Finn Balor, he's just this incredible wrestler that's a part of the roster that may have an opportunity. But when it comes to when he's the Demon, that's a whole different story.
Now the question is, are we going to see the Demon at WrestleMania?
We absolutely will see the Demon at WrestleMania.
Now, what'll bring out the Demon? Whoever he's feuding with. That's the big question. And it needs to be somebody believable to bring the Demon out of him.
Yeah. I mean, you could always go back to the Bray Wyatt thing. But I think the Bray Wyatt Matt Hardy thing is
that's gonna last. Yeah, that's gonna last.
But they could revisit that, and he could be Halloween Demon. Ooh. Against Sister Abigail. Mm-hmm. Which everybody didn't want to see.
No.
So I don't know what I think if it goes down to an IC.
If it's for a title, for sure. It won't matter who it's
become the
against.
Demon,
yeah.
And that'll be awesome. Mm-hmm. But I think that I think that's just what they're convinced at WWE. I'm reading Periscope as people are saying. I agree. I think it's probably going to be him getting a run at the IC title. But Finn Balor by himself, not as the Demon, is just, in their eyes, is like a mid-card guy for now.
Yeah. It's how it's going to be.
Yeah, and that's just kind of how it is. When he becomes the Demon, it's a whole different story. It's like he's a different wrestler.
Yeah.
And he's the top of the cream of the crop, top main card billing.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not the Demon, then, you know, he's not going to beat the tier one wrestlers in WWE.
I mean, the last person that the Demon faced was supposed to be Bray Wyatt, but it turned out to be AJ Styles, and we got an incredible match, and he won against AJ Styles.
The Demon is undefeated and will continue to be undefeated for the foreseeable future.
Yes, it would be the perfect way to book him.
And maybe that, yeah, I mean, so.
And he only takes losses as Finn Balor.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
And that keeps the Demon so exclusive and serious.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can accept that. As much as I love Finn, I love everything about Finn Balor, but that's kind of the way they've got him booked right now. And that's fine. I guess when we know we're going to see the Demon, we're going to get
a top-tier match.
And I guess that's where we're going to have to stay with a while. Because part of the problem is the roster's so damn deep.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
He's not bigger than Roman Reigns. He's not bigger than Brock Lesnar.
Nope.
He's not bigger than John Cena.
Nope. He's tiny. He's a little dude compared
to
him. No,
I don't mean in terms of size. I just mean in terms of not over with the crowd. I just mean in terms of star power.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Is he as over as those guys right now? Absolutely. He's probably the most over babyface in the company.
Yeah.
Because he's one of the, him and AJ Styles, to me, are the only two true babyfaces that are like at that level. Over.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I mean, Shinsuke, I guess, kind of is now at this point. But
yeah.
Braun is not a true babyface as much as he's a babyface right now. He's not a true babyface in the sense of what a babyface is.
Correct.
Is he the most over wrestler in WWE right now?
Yes.
Except for maybe Rusev. But Rusev's pretty friggin' hot right now.
Yeah.
But in terms of just like traditional, as Jim Ross would say, white meat babyface, AJ Styles and Finn Balor are kind of the only two.
Yeah.
That matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's others on the roster, and we probably sit around and figure that out. But those are the two main ones. One on each show. Just so happens that, you know, the one on SmackDown is probably the greatest wrestler in the world on top of being the top babyface.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, yeah. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. And after sitting around and being pissed off about after Monday night for about an hour and then going to sleep and waking up and going, yep. It's the Finn Demon thing. They're two different entities, essentially, the way they're being booked.
Yep.
And I think if you look at it that way, it makes a lot more sense. Still doesn't make me any less upset about the fact that I really wanted to see Demon Finn versus the Beast.
That would have been amazing.
You know, whatever. We'll get Roman. Roman will win. You know, he took out The Undertaker. I mean, he's the ascendancy to take it.
Yeah.
But then maybe we get Demon Finn against Roman to take the title from Roman.
Ooh.
And then it'll be WrestleMania next year or something. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
These things come around so fast. It's like we were just looking at WrestleMania not too long ago. So whole nother year for crazy stuff to happen. Mm-hmm. And I know Finn's not young, but.
How old is Finn?
I think like he's 30? In his 30s.
30, 31?
Hey, Siri. How old is Finn Balor? Not Finn Bauer.
Check it out.
Fuck you, Siri. How old is the WWE wrestler Finn Balor?
Here's what I found on the web for how old is the WWE wrestler Finn Bauer.
What?
How old is the WWE wrestler Finn Balor?
Okay, I found this on the web for how old is the WWE Rosler Finn Boyer.
Did I say Boyer?
No. Or Rosler. What's a Rosler? Oh, that's hilarious. I'm going to guess he's 31. 31.
This is some incredible, exciting.
This is journalism, man, at its finest.
This is fantastic podcasting right now.
Happy 50th.
If Kim was on the freaking podcast, she would be able to tell us. He's 36.
Bro just said it as Ed DX, boob. Wow.
36 years old.
I did not think he was 36.
That's prime right now.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. He doesn't look 36.
He does not. He looks a lot younger than 36.
He's fucking young as shit. Good. He's 2 years younger than me?
Yeah.
God, I feel like such a shithead. 2 years older than Finn Balor, and that guy looks like that.
He's 5 years older than I am, and he looks like that.
Yeah, you got time.
Yeah, I guess.
If I could turn back time. Bow, bow, now, bow. Felt like we should probably have some Goose Island tonight.
Away. Hell yeah.
Only dude, have a few of these left.
So when I went to the liquor store to get this beer, because I was like, I'm gonna get us a good beer for in celebration. I was in the beer cave for 40 minutes picking out one fucking beer, and I know the guys were like, I was in there forever. I came out with that.
It was good.
Yeah, it's tasty. It's a good one.
I like the coffee. Joan Coffee.
2017 bourbon.
Bourbon County, 2017.
Cheers.
I only have a couple of them left. Fuck it.
Oh, it's,
oh, I love that beer.
That's so good. All right. You ready to get on some smack? Down, Lyle. Fuck. Did you not like SmackDown Live this week?
No, I did.
Yeah, SmackDown was pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Shinsuke started it off.
I didn't see the first match, now that I'm talking about it.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, man.
No, I didn't.
We'll get to that.
You know what? I didn't see any of SmackDown.
What?
I fell asleep.
That's all right.
I thought I did.
I remember it pretty well. I always remember SmackDown more than I remember Raw because it's 2 hours.
Dude, I didn't watch SmackDown. Wow. Holy shit, dude.
Whoa, bro. It's about to get crazy in here.
Oh, fuck, man. I'm sorry, dude.
No, it's okay. It's all good.
I fell asleep with, like, during the promo.
The opening promo?
Yes. Last night. And I totally thought I watched it. I was like, sweet, at least I got through SmackDown.
You watched it in your dreams.
It's all melting together. So
that's all good.
You're gonna have to take the lead on this.
That's all good. Well, the show opened up with Shinsuke coming out to talk about winning the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the promo because he talked about knee to the face, which I thought was good.
Yeah,
that's where they need to put his promos.
Give him simple little lines to throw out
and have him practice pronouncing them before he comes out.
Yes, please.
Without a fucking.
Or do a whole thing in Japanese.
Yeah, do it like Asuka did, emphasize some things in English.
Yeah, but I thought it was hilarious. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles ends up coming out to give him props, and then Owens and Zayn came out as well to bolster up.
You shitheads.
Yeah, to bolster up. Like, hey, you didn't really win because the ref's a freaking moron. It's always the ref's fault.
It's always everybody else's fault.
Always everyone else's fault. So Daniel Bryan comes out.
Yep.
Yep, he does. And says, well, you know what? We're going to get a match tonight. We're going to get you two versus those two.
He was like, did AJ say something about like let's turn this elite match into an elite partnership for tonight or something like that.
Yeah, an elite team.
An elite team.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, absolutely.
Or dream team.
Dream team.
Yeah, dream match into a dream team.
See, I saw the beginning. I just don't know what happened the rest of the time.
It's all good. But it was a good promo to start off SmackDown Live. It really needed to pick up from the Royal Rumble, and we get to find out what our main event for the night is going to be.
Yep.
Later on, right after that, we get a fatal four-way match for the number one contender for the U.S. title match. This match was awesome. Kofi Kingston, Zack Ryder, Jinder Mahal, and Rusev.
So we know there's only a potential for two people to win this match.
Yes.
Kofi and Zack Ryder are fillers.
Yeah.
But and entertaining fillers.
It was, yeah, this match was a good back and forth between everybody. For a while, it was Rusev Day all day, which, of course, the way it was going to be. And Rusev ended up winning.
What?
Yeah, he won with an accolade. At one point, he even had a double accolade on Kofi and Zack Ryder.
I love when he does the double accolade.
It's fucking awesome, dude. But you can just tell he's so over with the crowd.
Yeah, they've got to push him.
Yeah.
Now why he's hot like this.
And I forgot that he was a U.S. champion at one point.
Yep.
Just because of the way he's been booked for the last two and a half years. But yep. This will be if he beats Bobby Roode, this will be his third U.S. title run, which would be awesome for him.
Bobby Roode is the other white meat baby face right now.
Yes.
But I think he should turn heel. I think they should do a double turn.
He is much better.
I think
as a
they
heel.
Should play if it's gonna be Rusev versus Bobby Roode, I would love for this to kind of be drawn out and have a double turn.
Yes.
Where Bobby Roode turns into a heel because he was so much better as a heel in NXT. Personally, I feel that way.
Agreed.
And have Rusev kind of transition as he's already transitioning into a full-on
baby face.
Because he still wrestles kind of like a heel and does some of the heel things with Aiden being his kind of like henchman.
Yeah.
But it would be awesome if they became like, they flipped it and Bobby Roode became the asshole because Rusev is so over.
Yeah. It would work out much better for the match.
Yes.
Well, and for both characters.
And they could kind of have like a three-match setup leading into WrestleMania being the rubber match.
Mm-hmm.
Like if somehow Rusev wins and gets the U.S. title, Bobby Roode gets it back, and then they're like, oh, WrestleMania.
Yeah. Now, one thing we didn't mention when we talked about Raw, Raw had a new logo.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even notice it.
It was basically the same logo, just inverse colors. It was a white background with the red letters instead of a, I don't know. But they had different, when their names would pop up on the screen, they had different, what's that called? Like banner, I guess?
Yeah.
Title banner, name banner. But with SmackDown, now they're really pushing on these selfie promos. This is like a new like thing they're going to keep doing, and we just have to accept it.
Everybody just needs to do the John Cena one before Raw. They did a one with him.
And it was good.
It was incredible.
Because
it was basically like, it wasn't like talking shit about Finn Balor. It was just basically like about me.
Yeah.
And it was really well done.
Mm-hmm. Not all of them on SmackDown were that well done. Some of them were. Some of the promos were great. Also, to go back to the opening, when Shinsuke came out, does his usual shtick, gets in the ring, and then randomly the word Rockstar went across the screen.
Oh, God.
It was just random. It's like, it was like they're trying to do, what are that?
Buzzwords, man.
Subliminal messaging. Oh, he's a rock star because the word said so. They did it in a lot of promos tonight. But it was okay. Some of them were good. Some of them were not so good.
Well, they're trying stuff, which is good.
Yeah, they're trying new things. They're trying stuff outside the box.
Not everything's going to work.
No. But we'll see how it plays out through the rest of the night. So the next part after the Fatal 4-Way, we got an Usos promo. And they had one of the backstage awesome segments. They're walking through like gangsters, having an awesome spitting fire. And every time they would say a line, the words would pop up like, "This is our penitentiary. We took these guys down. Blah, 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 blah." And I was like, all right, this is kind of working. And then they walked into like a bright white light at the end of the promo. It was weird, but it was cool because it was the Usos. Okay. So then we cut to commercial, come back. The Usos come out, cut a fire, nasty hot promo saying that they've beaten everybody in the SmackDown roster. Whether you be the New Day, Lockdown. And when they would say Lockdown, like... like the jail bars would go over the screen like dunk.
Really? Seems a little overproduced.
It was, but just because it was them, like they were cutting themselves a promo because they were like, I would not have anyone else to have my struggles in life with to share than my own brother. And then they went and then destroyed everybody in this promo. And they're like, I don't even care if you're brothers, if you're teammates, if you're best friends. We got this whole thing on lock. And then the Bludgeon Brothers music hit. And I was like, oh. We've never seen them face the Bludgeon Brothers.
Nope.
But it was weird. Bludgeon Brothers came out. Usos just kind of left. Just walked out.
Yeah, they're like, we're not ready for you guys yet.
No. So the Bludgeon Brothers had a squash match.
Again.
Yep. And destroyed these two little dudes in 2 minutes.
Harper.
Rowan.
Bludgeon Brothers.
Down is up and up is down.
Inside is outside and outside is inside.
The Bludgeon Brothers are, if you were to take Braun Strowman and cut him in half and shorten him a little bit.
And gave him some broke-ass old Kane gear.
Yeah. He's digging through Kane's garbage over the
You guys want some hammers too? Because you're bludgeoning. Yeah, that sounds good.
It's what they are.
Yeah.
But I like it. I'm liking it more and more every week. It's just going to take time until they get... They're going to face the Usos at some point in time.
That should be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty fun.
Yeah. Good hard-hitting match. Then next, we get a Charlotte Flair promo talking about the Women's Royal Rumble. Then she also talked about Ronda Rousey coming in at the end of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. And as soon as she said something about Ronda Rousey, you hear some ska music hit, and I thought it was Ronda coming out because we didn't see her anywhere on Raw.
Yeah.
But it was Ruby Riott because their music sounds kind of similar. So Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan.
Yeah, you had it right the first time.
Oh, it's confusing. But all three of them came out, basically beat the shit out of Charlotte. And you're like, oh, Charlotte's beat down. Then you hear F-A-B-U-L-O-U-A-S. And she comes running out with the Money in the Bank briefcase and a referee. And is going to cash in on a beat down Charlotte. And you're like, oh, my God. I stood out of my seat.
My God. She's coming in to cash in.
My God. My God. Oh, man. So she gives the briefcase to the ref. The ref gives it to the announcer guy. And he's like, we're going to make this happen. So Carmella runs at Charlotte with a drop kick, completely misses Charlotte, and knocks the ref out of the ring. So she runs out of the ring, grabs the briefcase, and runs off. She's like, no, not yet, not yet. But at least they finally, like...
And acknowledge the fact that she still has the Money in the Bank briefcase?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Which hopefully means that we'll see a little bit more of that coming up into play soon. But I flipped out. I thought this was a good spot because I was, like, kind of wearing down a little bit. And then that happened, and I jumped out of my seat, reinvigorated for SmackDown Live right there.
That sounds like it was fun.
Yeah, it was a good portion of it. Earlier in the night, Ty Dillinger had talked to Shane McMahon, basically complaining about what had happened at the Royal Rumble because he was supposed to come in at number 10, just like he did when he debuted.
And Baron Corbin took his spot.
Zayn took his spot.
Oh, that's right.
So he was like, I want some redemption here.
Did Baron Corbin beat him up?
Yeah.
And then Sami Zayn took his spot.
And well, when Baron comes in and interrupts this little backstage segment with Shane McMahon, and why are you complaining all the time? All you do is complain. And Ty Dillinger basically beat him down and said, "You've squandered everything that's been given to you. I mean, look, didn't you have a Money in the Bank contract? Blah blah." So Shane McMahon then goes, "Well, you know what? Put you in a match. You guys are going to be in a match. You guys are fighting later on." So they had a match: Baron Corbin versus Ty Dillinger. It was a fun little popcorn match towards the end of SmackDown. Dillinger looked like he was going to get a little bit of leeway on the match, but Corbin did not let that happen. Hit him with an EOD, 1-2-3. Like, straight up. There was no deep six.
Deep six.
6 to midnight.
Yes. Hit him with a 6 to midnight. He just gone stiff as a board. He's done.
But yeah, he hit him with the end of days. 1-2-3. Done. So another burial for Ty Dillinger. We probably won't see him again for another like 17 weeks. Do you remember a good time in SmackDown Live where we saw him every week for like 7 weeks?
Yes, I do.
We were so close to that perfect 10. So close. So, he gone.
He gone.
Next match of the night, we get a Breezango and Ascension promo in the back for Fashion Files, and they started talking about something random, and Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable come in as big old bullies, going, hey, Fashion Files is still a thing. Shush! We're going to beat you guys up. We're going to take you down. We're going to flip over your table with your laptops and iPads looking for whatever case you're hunting down. See you in the ring, guy. Then they had a match. Fun match, but you know who was winning that match.
Breezango?
Yeah, Benjamin Gable won. It was just a weird place.
Really, Dango?
It was a weird place for them to be in.
Can't be Red Dango. Breeze.
Dango.
I want to see them more often. They're so fun.
I do too. It's they were on fire when there was no one in the tag division.
You remember they took on the Usos for the titles?
Yeah, that was
when the Usos were still heels. That we were at that.
That was a backlash.
And Breeze had like the mop on the janitor, and he was like fighting him with the mop.
It was so good.
Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah. And now they're just kind of forgotten.
Now they're like on Ascension level.
Yeah. But at least the Ascension are getting something out of it.
It's like the Ascension, Breezango, and Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
Sad face.
It is sad. It's so sad. It's all right. Hopefully we can see some comeuppance for all those guys soon. Because that'd be a good payoff.
Yeah, Benjamin and Gable just got beat 2 out of 3 falls.
They had to win this week. Or at this SmackDown. They just had to. Against Breezango. Oh, well. The next we get the main event. AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Owens and Zayn. Now, before I get
Cammy.
To this, Cammy. Sammy Owens. Kevin Zayn. So, before this match, earlier in the night, Daniel Bryan comes up to Sammy and Kevin because they're complaining about this match being made and how they need another shot at the WWE Championship. So, Daniel Bryan comes up with the great idea that I'm going to give you two another chance at the WWE title. So next week on SmackDown Live, we are going to get Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens to see who the number one contender is.
What?
Yep. And as soon as he said that, Sami Owens, Kevin Zayn are now like weird. Like, it was weird for the rest of the night. They were in the back getting ready, and he's like, are you ready for this? Yeah, I'm ready for this. Too bad you squandered your shot at the Royal Rumble when it happened. Well, too bad you took the pin at the match. Well, we're best friends, right? Yeah, I guess. And it relayed into the match. Like, they were so angry at each other the entire match. Like,
discombobulated.
Yeah, they were. At one point, Sami Zayn got taken out of the ring, and Kevin Owens was the man, the legal man. He goes to tag him, and he's like, where are you? Why are you out there? Why are you out there? You should be in my corner right now. He's like, I got taken out of the ring. Like, it was a constant just yelling battle between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
So there's trouble in paradise.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Speaking of which, we got a trouble in paradise actually connect in the Royal Rumble. He got an elimination. I can't remember on who, but...
He did?
Yeah. I think did he take out Baron Corbin?
Might have been. I think you're right.
I just remember seeing Trouble in Paradise actually connect for once, and I was like, what?
Yeah. No, it always gets countered.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit, Kofi hit the Trouble in Paradise.
Right.
Sorry. But,
No, it's all good.
So AJ and Shinsuke get the win?
Yes, they ended up getting the win.
Who got the pin?
I think it was Shinsuke on Kevin Owens.
Kinshasa.
Because Sami Zayn tried to walk out of the match twice.
Oh. He did the Kevin Owens on Kevin Owens?
Yeah, he did. And also, after SmackDown, there was a mixed match challenge. It was Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss versus Sami Zayn and
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch, yeah. Which made sense. So that makes sense for him not being in the match for quite a while, but...
Yeah.
It's going to play...
I'm imagining Alexa and Braun one.
Yeah. I didn't watch it. I'm waiting until they finish it all.
Watching Alexa and Becky wrestle, I don't think there's any losers.
Nope. We're all winners.
We're all winners when that happens. So I'm officially got to go back and revisit SmackDown. Apologies to everybody listening that I neglected my duties this week.
It's all good. It was a fun episode of SmackDown, especially with the knowing next week we're going to get Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
But I will say this. I rewatched SmackDown. You need to make sure you watch TakeOver before
yes.
next week.
Okay.
Because we'll talk about it next week because it was incredible.
Yeah.
There are some fantastic matches, and you will not be disappointed. Every match on the card was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Shayna Baszler got a championship match.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that.
But she lost, which is even better.
Thank God.
Yeah, they're not taking the strap off Ember. Just
no,
yet.
No.
But the opening match was great. Cassius Ohno versus Velveteen Dream.
Yep.
And then you had the tag match, which was incredible.
Was that
AOP versus Undisputed Era?
Right. Was that for the championship? That was for the
championship, and it was awesome.
Cool.
You had the was it Extreme Rules
or no or DQ?
No DQ. The Aleister Black versus
it was a stip match for sure.
Yeah, versus Adam Cole.
And then the. Heavyweight.
And then the heavyweight championship.
Wow.
Which was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you definitely need to go back and watch that pay-per-view. Totally worth it.
I'll make that a play this weekend. Or try to.
Then we can talk about it.
Because I'm working a lot this weekend. But I got nothing else, man. I am spent on wrestling this week.
I know. It's like... So, let's talk about a little bit about... First of all, those of you that are listening, thanks so much for checking out our podcast last week and our special podcast with our interview with Antisocial Kim.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got a lot of people listen to it and give a lot about it feedback. We got a lot of responses. We really appreciate
that.
Yeah,
we got a ton.
Thanks for all you people who are normally Antisocial Kim fans that maybe became SmarkSpot fans as of last week.
We really do hope so.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And sorry if we're not our normal, like... wired up selves. We're just a little bit fatigued.
We usually do, after like big pay-per-views especially, like it's just there's so much wrestling to cover.
Yes, and I'm sure we left out quite a bit, but it's okay because that's a lot of wrestling. But it was incredible. We watched it together, so it's always fun to watch those together
we kind of had two pay-per-views during the Royal Rumble. We had the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, and then we had the pay-per-view of Your Dog versus My Dog.
Marzi was on fire.
Yeah, dude.
Otis just wanted to hang out, and Marzi was like, I'll kill you.
I'll get you. It was just play mode constantly throughout the night.
Yes. Well, it's been... Otis isn't ever winning anything. He's like the most happy-go-lucky, chill dog, and Marzi's a little high-strung
sometimes.
She's
wired. She was fired up.
Yeah, yeah. Otis has got her beat by about 30-something pounds, but she's a little bit more compact in her... And her aggressiveness.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't anything like that. They just were... The problem was it's been so damn cold. Both of our dogs have been...
Like locked in
unable to run around and do crazy stuff to calm themselves down. So it was like...
It was good for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if we could have just let them like play outside and mess with each other.
When we got home, she passed out.
Otis slept the whole entire next day.
That's awesome.
But it was fun. They had a good time. We had a good time, ate some wings, watched some wrestling.
Yeah, dude, it was badass.
But we really appreciate you listening and continue to give us feedback, good, bad, and different. Every little bit helps. We appreciate that. I'll tell us how to find us if you want to do the shout-outs.
I'll do the shout-outs.
Okay.
PWO Good Brothers, which, by the way, Rob, I'm going to start off with WNA Podcast, Wrestling Nerds Alliance. Rob was a little salty at the fact that we brought on Antisocial Kim before him for the interviews.
Sorry, Rob. Call in, bud. We'll interview you.
We do need to do a joint show at some time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I figured it would be nice to get some people different because we shout out. I feel like we do a good job, not just us, but all of us in the PWO of cross-promoting. And, you know, because I think we all have something different to offer that's interesting and different. So, sorry, Rob, don't be too upset with this. We'll get together here soon.
But WNA is coming back this week.
Yay!
They're coming back tomorrow on Friday, February 2nd. So check them out with their brand new episode. They've been on hiatus for the last couple weeks. Then you also have the Gimmick Table, who does awesome, awesome interviews of indie wrestlers or anyone in the indie wrestling scene. Check them out. They have new episodes every Monday. You have the Brocast, for our awesome PWO brothers in Australia. They just had a new episode, which was hilarious, by the way, so definitely check it out if you can. Then you have the wrestling, or the wrestling, the wretched wrestling fuckers, as I like to call them, Craig and Fred. They are usually doing live Periscope, Facebook Watch, and YouTube videos on Friday or Saturday night, depending on which night they want to get drunk on. You also have Raw is Boar, who covers Impact on Pop, and Impact on Pop is kind of losing a lot of their star power now. So, Raw's Boar, get back on that WWE train, bros. Maybe we get you on the show, throw a little bit of banter for some WWE action, because Impact on Pop is not doing so well. But if you do watch Impact on Pop, they are the guys to go to and listen to. They are amazing.
So, here's the deal. Ways to find us. If you have any ideas for interviews or know anybody that would be or you want to be interviewed, please send us an email to our smarkspot@gmail.com. We would appreciate that. We do want to interview more people. Unless Rob's listening, don't email us. Just we'll get together and figure it out sooner or later. We haven't forgot about you, bud.
Right.
But congrats on being back up and running for tomorrow. You can find us on Facebook, where we post all our new shows. SmarkSpot, if you just search on Facebook. Easiest way to get a hold of us and our most common way to coordinate and talk to our fans, Twitter, @SmarkSpot. And then, of course, if you're watching us live on Periscope, Thursday nights, usually at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until whenever. Although it was a little bit late tonight, or maybe just Leo solo without me, since I got caught up in some other things, family-related.
That's going to be a Periscope exclusive. It was just me by myself. It was so awkward.
I'm sitting there with family, and I looked down, and I was like, it's 10 o'clock. Like, oh, we got to go. And then my phone rings, and I'm like, hello? He's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, oh, my God. Were you on Periscope when you called me?
No.
Oh, thank God. No. That's right. You wouldn't have been able to because you were on your phone.
Yeah.
But check us out on Periscope, and... we're here every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, whether I'm here or not, evidently. And then you can find us on all the different ways for podcasts. Podbean, iTunes, Google Play. Please check us out. Download us. Subscribe. Give us a review, if you would. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much. We love you guys, and we've had a wonderful time. And P.S., we didn't even mention it until the very end of the fucking show. Episode number... 50. 50th episode.
Woo!
Actually, it's like 53, but we're not counting interviews or Leo's first foray without me. This is our 50th episode, so too sweet for that.
Yeah, right.
Coming up on a year in a couple months.
Yeah, dude.
We've been doing this together, and it has been an awesome time.
Right.
It's been one of the best things to happen to me in the last couple years, getting together with this guy, talking about some wrestling with you folks.
It's been a blast.
And we're going to keep doing it because we love doing it and we enjoy it and we appreciate you checking in every week.
Hell yeah, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in as usual and we will see you next week.
Peace.
Later.